this, well, the last couple of days has been, and I don't even know how to describe it. I was going to say tough kind of couple of days of discussion around racism and kind of how the world in general is coping with this. It's brought forth lots of dialogue. Honestly, I'll say it's spearheaded by sports leagues, specifically the NBA. We'll give them credit for continuing to keep the message, I think, front and center for people in terms of making sure that all the racial issues that we are seeing, especially stateside, are still front and center on people's minds. And it's brought a lot more dialogue, I think, for people, which is never a bad thing, let's face it. Joining us on the line this morning is Saleh Wazaruddin, joining us from the Anti-Racism Coalition. Saleh, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing a little better this morning, Matt. Thanks for having me for the Niagara Region Anti-Racism Association, and it's definitely been demoralizing and discouraging seeing the police killing that happened in Kenosha and then the impunity with which the terrorist was shooting at protesters there.
And I don't even know where to take the conversation this morning, but obviously this latest round of conversation, which has been awesome to be having, at least hopefully pushing it out there. It's terrible this had to this happened again, to put it out there. Obviously, like you mentioned, this stems from the shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin, of Jacob Blake, who got shot 7 times in the back, and everything that ensued from it. But I'm curious, as you've sat there the last couple of days and watching the dialogue and everything, what have you taken out of it?
Well, one thing to be careful about is to think that we're so far removed from it in Canada, because if you look closely what's been happening here, even we're actually not that far removed. For example, we had a guy from the military caught armed trying to break into Rideau Hall not that long ago. And recently we've just had case after case where the SIU in Ontario, Special Investigation Unit, has cleared officers of killings, and they're not even charging officers with assault. For example, Ejaz Chaudhry in Peel, the officers were cleared, and they're not even going to charge him with assault. He was a person in mental distress who was killed. Even here in Niagara, we had a man in mental distress who was shot on New Year's Eve. The officers have been cleared of that. There's at the regional council, we heard from a guy in Welland, an Inuit man who was beaten up by police and insulted racially, and those officers have been cleared. Regis Kochinski-Paquette in Toronto, who died while the police were there, the officers were cleared. In Montreal, an officer who rammed his car in road rage is not even disciplined. So we're seeing police immunity here as well, and not too far from us in Caledonia, with the 1492 Landback Lane, we're seeing police there with an armored vehicle and now a helicopter, you know, using military-type vehicles coming close to protesters. So we should be cautious as well that, you know, we're not immune from what's happening down there.
Not immune, but I think what muddies the water for some people, Saleh, is that it's a little different. A number of the cases that you talked about there were mental health calls, and it wasn't necessarily race related. These were, you know, many of those were mental health crisis calls, and maybe that's the one discussion, at least on our side of the border, that we're more apt to be having. I guess we're just not moving at a pace of that we would like to see in terms of kind of how we change how we respond to mental health crisis.
Well, definitely it's not, it may not seem as intense as what's happening in the U.S., but some of these are race-related, although certainly many of them are mental health-related. But, for example, with the guy in Welland, I mean, he was specifically insulted with references to him being Inuit. But that was nowhere in the SIU's report, because it was one person's word against another's. Or the fact that with Ejaz Chaudhry or Regis Kochinski-Paquette, that they were racialized. I mean, it's disproportionately. This study of the Toronto Police shows that specifically black people and black men are disproportionately subjected to police violence. So that's a factor in there too, even though we don't talk about it as much as they do in the U.S., but it's there as well. But even with mental health in general, you know, there's the message from the police here is that policing is different here than in the U.S. because there is you know, continuum of force and de-escalation training. But they have that in the U.S. as well. So I agree, there are differences. It's not the same, but it's not as different as some of us would like to think. The basic problems are still there.
And I think that's the crux of it. Yeah, and I like kind of the way that you put that. It is different, but the basic problem is still kind of sitting there and underlying it all. I'm curious. I don't know. How do you feel about the fact that this time around that sports leagues are, specifically the NBA, but really kind of being that galvanizing force behind this messaging? Do you think that's a beneficial conversation right now?
Well, I think they felt that they have no choice of what can they do, and that's exactly right. Many of us are racialized people, and many white people as well, I'm sure, are at the position where, you know, it's so blatant, what we saw in the video of the shooting in Kenosha, the police, and also the impunity with which the white supremacist was able to shoot protesters. It's just those two things together. What more can you do? I mean, it's so I think it's they felt they didn't really have any choice but to say, you know, we can't keep playing and smiling for the camera and be happy when this is going on. And I think that's what many people feel, even, you know, just in general, outside the sports leagues.
Well, yeah, and I think that's, you know, kind of some of the conversation we've seen come from is, you know, the support of saying, yeah, well, how can you do this at this point in time when this is still being out there and it's still sitting there and not being responded to, I think, in a serious enough way, which, and I know we've had many discussions in the past and some of the work that you've done with the various groups trying to put together some recommendations here locally, which some of them at least are being investigated right now. But I think it's the pace in which change is not happening. Is the underlying piece of this. We want change to be happening faster than it is.
Well, that's certainly true, but especially in Niagara, we're lagging behind. I mean, many cities across Canada have asked for things like at least ending street checks, which really is racial profiling. It's been regulated so that technically you can't stop people because of race, but the police's own stats show that disproportionately Black and Indigenous people are the ones being stopped. So, I mean, that should be a no-brainer to end that. But that was defeated in votes at St. Catharines City Council and at the Regional Council. In St. Catharines, it was a tie. But it's compared to many of the cities that have passed resolutions saying to end this, from St. John in New Brunswick to Victoria in B.C., you know, we in Niagara have somehow failed to say that we want to ban racial profiling, basically.
Yeah, it was, and that is a weird one because even the numbers show that they haven't really done it at all in the last 2 years. Yet there's still a reluctance to continue to do it. It's to have the option, I guess, to do it, which
right.
is weird.
I mean, the stats of 2019 was great, zero stops.
Yeah,
let's just make that permanent. But the police are saying that they feel they need to use it. You know, so how can racial profiling be beneficial? If you either it's bad or it's good. If it's bad, then we should end it.
Yeah, that one to me is out of all the discussions, that one was one of the very bizarre things that kind of locally here we've been having was why, you know, I understand the police chief saying that, look, it's not something locally that I can say you can't do this. That's got to come from.
But actually, you could, because it's kind of like, to quit smoking, you don't need to you don't need to interfere with tobacco regulations. To quit drinking, you don't need to violate alcohol regulations. So you can actually end street checks without changing the provincial law. The provincial law only regulates it. And the police chief admitted this. Where Councillor Laura Yip had to go four rounds with him at the regional meeting. He was being obtuse, I think, but eventually at the end, he had to admit that yes, that it only regulates it. It doesn't force police.
Yeah, they don't have to do them. It's just there. The possibility for them to do it is there, sort of.
Or the rules for doing them are there. And that's what the police's own website says. And it links to a provincial website, which, believe it or not, is ontario.ca/streetchecks. So even the provincial website calls it street checks and has the rules there on how to do it.
Well, I think that's part of, I know they wanted to, you know, they even changed the word from street checks to some other kind of reference. It was, but it, whether you call it carding, whether you call it street checks, or you call it the gathering of information or whatever you want, it's essentially the same idea. It's just a different title on it, sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's a profiling, basically. That's the old word for it.
Yeah, there you go. There's a million different ways we've referred to it. This is the exact same thing that we've been dealing with, which is nuts that we could, you know, just keep changing titles, sort of thing. The discussion is out there. We are, you know, I think everybody within their own households are having plenty of thoughts and conversations around the table, which, as much as another, you know, shooting of an African American is a problem, at least we're still having discussions and hopefully enacting change. We can't do anything about our friends south of the border other than hope that they do, you know, what they should do. But here we can be making some of these changes, which hopefully we get to here. Salah, I'm up against the clock, but I appreciate the chat this morning. Thanks.
Well, thanks for having me, Matt, for the Niagara Region Anti-Racism Association. I appreciate it.
Take care there. So Salah Wazirdine joining us on the program as another week of, I'll be honest, hard conversations, I think, for people in their own homes. And, you know, a discussion around, hey, I wanted to watch the Raptors game tonight. Well, the Raptors game isn't on. Why? Well, you know, this issue we've been talking about for some time in terms of treating everybody the same. People still aren't doing that.